The Escape Pod. Let's go on a trip through time to see what tomorrow looked like yesterday.
Preparing escape pod for launch.
Today was yesterday's tomorrow.
Pressurizing.
Where we are now used to be the unimaginable future.
Fuel.
Nominal.
And today's outdated entertainment used to be yesterday's state of the art.
Power.
Nominal.
Sifting through science fact and science fiction, from outdated technology to the birth of the future. Let's get away from it all for a few minutes by going back the way we came, into logbook.com's escape pod. The logbook.com's escape pod has settled into orbit again for a look at the fantastic, the futuristic, and the unreservedly geeky. I'm Earl Green, and I'll be your tour guide as we relive what tomorrow looked like yesterday. On this day in 1968, the shape of things to come. Ralph Baer, the inventor and patent holder of home video games, completed the sixth prototype of a simple TV tennis game, which was called the Brown Box due to its handmade case wrapped in brown wood grain wallpaper. This was the one that stuck. It was simple enough to go to market, and the race was on to interest an electronics company in producing the first home video game console. The Brown Box wouldn't go public until 4 years later, when the Magnavox Odyssey, based on Baer's design, was released in 1972.
Well, here we are, playing ping pong when we ought to be working. Here's our ball, volleying back and forth, one free ball, plus one net, courtesy of a local CATV station. Here's my partner Bill, and I, we're going to play ping pong for you in a minute, but before we do, I'd like to show you the controls that we're using, which are part of the plug-in module, the ping pong plug-in module, gaming plug-in module of the all-purpose box we talked about earlier. There is a horizontal knob here, as you can see, which, when I twiddle it, moves my paddle from left to right. There is a vertical control, which moves my paddle up and down. Finally, there's an English knob, which allows me to put curves on the ball, control the vertical position of the ball as it leaves my paddle. Whenever I intercept the ball, if I don't miss it, and bat it back at my opponent, I have control over the ball's vertical position, and that's what the English knob is for, and watch me fake him out in a minute. There's another control here, a serve knob, which puts the ball into play, serves it from my side if it's out of play, on my position if it should go out of play. In Bill's position, he's got the same kind of a button right here, he pushes it, and the ball comes in from that side. Ready?
It's on your side.
It's on my side? Okay, let's go. Let me move away from the net a bit. Here we go.
On the same day in 1968, jaws dropped as the future was revealed at the Joint Computer Conference in San Francisco.
Well, you can see the devices that I'm using. I use three, and they're not all standard. We have a pointing device called our mouse, standard keyboard, and a special key set we have here. And we're going to go for a picture down in our laboratory in Menlo Park and pipe it up. That'll show you, from another point of view, more about how that mouse works. Come in, Menlo Park. Okay, there's Don Andrews' hand in Menlo Park. And in a second, we'll see the screen that he's working and the way the tracking spot moves in conjunction with movements of that mouse. I don't know why we call it a mouse. Sometimes I apologize. It started that way, and we never did change it.
Computer visionary Doug Engelbart gave visitors what is now called the mother of all demos, demonstrating computer technologies and concepts that were decades ahead of their time, including the first mouse, the first point-and-click graphical user interface, hypertext, real-time video conferencing, and live collaboration via network.
Well, you've seen most of the way through here how this serves as a very powerful tool for an individual to work when he's studying, doing his planning, designing, debugging, documenting. But we also saw, through the medium of leaving messages for each other and filtering them, that people can collaborate quite well over a period of time by working on joint files. In fact, you can have a joint file and go leave a message and get a response in a matter of minutes because they're all available instantly by anybody from one of these terminals.
Engelbart called his project a research center for augmenting the human intellect, apparently unaware that what the world really needed was a system for the efficient delivery of amusingly captioned pictures of cats. Get it right, Doug. In 1978, the Pioneer Venus Multiprobe arrived to deliver its payload of 4 atmospheric entry probes to the stormy planet.
One of the most ambitious missions involved 2 Pioneer spacecraft that were launched toward a rendezvous and landing on this planet, Venus. Scientists believe that by studying the weather of Venus, they can learn about our weather here on Earth. The Pioneer orbiter spacecraft is programmed to circle Venus every 24 hours, studying the upper fringes of the Venusian atmosphere as it travels along. The second spacecraft, the Multiprobe, is made up of a space bus with 4 data-gathering spheres that plunge down simultaneously to different parts of Venus, returning valuable information about its 900-degree surface and carbon dioxide environment.
After launching its 4 probes and relaying their readings back to NASA scientists, the Multiprobe bus spacecraft tumbled into the Venusian atmosphere to break up. The Pioneer Venus orbiter, which arrived several days earlier at Venus, remained in the planet's orbit through the 1990s. Space Shuttle Discovery lifted off in 2006 to continue construction of the International Space Station.
For main engine start, 6, 4, 3, 2, 1. We have booster ignition and liftoff of the Space Shuttle Discovery, lighting up the nighttime sky as we continue building the International Space Station.
Born on this day in 1930, the co-creator of Get Smart and the comedy writer behind the 70s sci-fi spoof Quark, Buck Henry. Actor Beau Bridges was born in 1941. Monty Python musical collaborator Neil Innes was born in 1944. And born in 1952, actor Michael Dorn.
Yes, Doctor.
We have finally found a compatible ribosome match for the Romulan. You.
That is impossible. I am a Klingon.
You did understand that was the purpose of all the testing.
I have no objection to tests.
You have an objection to being a donor?
Yes.
I understand your feelings about the Romulans, but this is not the time or the place.
If you had seen them kill your parents, you would understand, Doctor. It is always the time and place for those feelings.
This Romulan didn't murder your parents. And you are the only one who can save his life.
Then he will die.
Crowded House bassist Nick Seymour was born today in 1958. Science fiction author Robert Sheckley died on this day in 2005. And famed British astronomer royal Sir Patrick Moore died in 2012. In 1998, a member of Voyager's crew had rank pulled on him in the episode 30 Days.
Lieutenant Thomas Eugene Paris, I hereby reduce you to the rank of ensign. And I sentence you to 30 days solitary confinement.
In 2003, the Sci-Fi Channel's Battlestar Galactica miniseries concluded, and critics and viewers alike rallied around the remake, but a full series order for the expensive show would take a long time to happen.
Life here began out there. Those are the first words of the sacred scrolls. And they were told to us by the Lords of Kobol many countless centuries ago. And they made it perfectly clear that we are not alone in this universe. Elosha, there is a 13th colony of humankind, is there not?
Yes. The scrolls tell us a 13th tribe left Kobol in the early days. They traveled far and made their home upon a planet called Earth, which circled a distant and unknown star.
It's not unknown. I know where it is. Earth. Most guarded secret we have. The location was only known by the senior commanders of the fleet, and we dared not share it with the public, not while there was a Cylon threat upon us. For now, we have a refuge to go to, a refuge that the Cylons know nothing about. It won't be an easy journey. But I promise you one thing. On the memory of those lying here before you, we shall find it. And Earth will become our new home. So say we all.
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 You can read about these events and many more on thelogbook.com's ever-evolving timeline of geek history. The book Vorp 2 is available now, thelogbook.com's guide to the most recent season of Doctor Who, along with complete guides to the spin-off series Torchwood, the Sarah Jane Adventures, K-9, and the Big Finish Doctor Who audio adventures. You can pick up other original books and DVDs and hundreds of other titles in thelogbook.com store anytime. Thanks for listening to The Escape Pod.
Escape Pod was written and produced by Earl Keane.